Hello and welcome to yet another interview on Rethink Peer-to-Peer Kredite. My name is Danny Neithardt and today I'm joined by Pavel Klema, who is the new CEO of the Czech peer-to-peer platform, Bonster. Pavel, thanks a lot for taking some time today. Please, before we start, let our listeners and viewers know how you're doing personally.
Hi, thank you for inviting me for the interview. I'm quite fine, you know, the pandemic affecting everyone, but as an online platform, we're doing well. We are online, so that's good. We're working from home offices, so we are safe, everyone from Bonster. So hopefully all of our investors are doing well as we are. So thank you.
All right. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to our conversation today and what you can also share about Bonster. But I would say before we go into that, let's, you know, put a bit more focus on you first. You have been appointed as the new Bonster CEO quite recently in March 2021, at least according to the press release, because I see on LinkedIn you kind of put yourself as the CEO already from November. Maybe you can share at first a few more of your a few more details about your professional background prior joining Bonster.
Okay, I used to work for in like financial industry for my whole career. I started in non-banking financial institution in Czech Republic, which was ProfiCredit. My responsibilities were mainly expansion of ProfiCredit to Romania and Bulgaria. So that was my main focus, and mainly I was focused on debt collection. So the collection departments was my industry there. Then I moved to Airbank, which was one of my let's say biggest experience in banking sector. I started in Airbank. I was completely developing the whole collection department from scratch when Airbank was a newcomer in the banking sector in Czech Republic and in that times. After that, I was working for ELSE KSI as a company, which is as a German company, owned the mother company is a German one. And I used to work as a chief operations officer and mainly, again, being responsible for debt collections. And right after that, I came back to ProfiCredit. I got an offer to become a member of a management there. And after I think a year and a half, I got an offer to become a CEO. So I used to be a CEO until summer 2020. When I resignated on my CEO position, I made some holidays with my family. And during that time, as I knew the people from Bonster, I knew the people from some other companies related to the CEP Invest private equity company. We started to talk about some cooperation. That's why I entered and why my LinkedIn profile says that it's from November 2020. That's where my formally my contract started, and I became a CEO from March, and we also wanted to announce me as a CEO for me to be able to react and to be able to handle these kind of conversations about the company, to know the company in such detail to be able to talk about it. So that's it.
Okay. So we can hear plenty of experience behind your or under your belt from the financial sector. Now, you mentioned Bonster already. How did the contact with Bonster initiate, and why did you also then decide to join the company?
Well, I had like first contact with Bonster. I had already, I think it was 2019, maybe 2020, when Bonster was offering some cooperation with Profi Credit, where I was a CEO. So there I like first met Bonster, and as I've said, I knew the people around. I was not in the situation like desperately looking for a job. Otherwise, the opportunity in this sector was very challenging for me, and I think it's an industry with a great opportunity and with a great future. So when I was offered to start a cooperation with Bonster, I was very, very pleased, and that's where the cooperation started. So it was like late 2020 when we had those conversations about our cooperation.
Hmm. Okay, and apparently it went quite successfully, as we can tell now from looking back. Let's talk about Bonster a bit more in particular, about the company itself, the history, the ownership, something I'm always very interested in. You mentioned already a few details with CEP Invest, for instance, the connection. First of all, Bonster itself as the P2P platform has been founded and launched in 2017. You kind of, you know, with your insights right now from the past, what can you maybe share some details on the origin story of the company?
Well, firstly, there was a company called Půjčme Firmě. It's called like Lend to My Company. It was a crowdfunding platform. It was a like pre-Bonster company, 2015. In May 2017, the Bonster completely was successfully developed and offered to the investors. There were first loans from Acema. In September 2017, there was a first investment offered to the investors in euros. So it was like first foreign investments. And we started, or not we, but my colleagues in the past started to develop the company. Well, in late 2018, there was a first foreign loan originator. They were starting from Poland. And coming to early 2020, where the currency conversion, auto invests, and those functionalities you probably know with Bonster were coming to the platform, and like one of the successful years. Which I was only partially part of was 2020, where the 11,000 investors joined Bonster. So that is like the history itself. And I don't know whether there are some particular details in the history you want to know, but these are kind of the milestones in the past.
Yeah. Well, to me, what's interesting is the ownership in particular, or maybe you can explain a bit better the background. So you mentioned already there's a Czech investment company. It's a private equity company called CEP Invest. Can you just explain a bit better what the exact relationship is and what this company is all about?
The company is called CEP Invest Private Equity. And it's like a private company. It's a 100% shareholder of a Bonster. So this company is holding Bonster from 100%. And this private equity company belongs to family Valesh. I can spell it to you. So it's kind of a family investment company, and also, of course, some other investments in Czech Republic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also the name that I researched. Václav Valeš, I think, is the beneficial owner of this company.
Yes.
Is you personally had contact with him did you have some contact personally, but also on the other side, is there maybe also some other shareholders involved there as well?
As I said, the kind of shareholder of the CEP private equity fund is Aleš's family. So this is Mr. Václav Aleš is the UBO. Anyway, I'm in, I can say, daily contact with the other member of the family, which is his son. And yes, we are like in a contact on a daily basis. He's in other businesses also with the CEP private equity fund.
Yeah. What I was wondering is if, do you know if there's any other ventures that CEP Invest is dealing with?
Yes, I know that there is no other than the Valeš family. So it's only that one.
No, but I mean, like, aside from Bonster, do they have any other companies that they deal with, that they are in charge of?
They are in charge of Acema, who is also a loan originator in Bonster, and some other financial businesses in Czech Republic. But they are investing in some other companies, but I don't know that other ventures in such a detail. So I can't say right now.
Okay. To me, something that definitely stands out about Bonster is obviously it's a peer-to-peer platform from Czech Republic. That's quite unique, considering that, you know, most companies come a bit more like from the Baltics area. I don't know much about the Czech market, to be very honest with you, but maybe you can enlighten us with a bit more knowledge, like in terms of what are the legal requirements to operate a business like this in Czech Republic. Is there any legislation specifically for peer-to-peer lending? How is it with, you know, selling debt, selling claim rights? What can you share, maybe how the legal environment is in Czech Republic where Bonster is operating in?
Well, basically, there is no kind of regulation for this P2P investments. Of course, there is a higher regulation for the loan originators, the non-banking loan originators, as well as the banking ones, are regulated by Czech National Bank, so they have to be licensed subjects and. To the P2P investing, it's a way of a debt sale, if I would say, from the point of view from the legal point of view, and it's under the civil code with some basic regulations, meaning what the contracts should look like. What is the information obligations to the parties, and so on. And there's no such a big regulation to selling and buying debts.
Okay.
Which is the main core business in the perspective of Bonster, of course.
Would you wish that there's more of a safer environment, let's say, for customers? Because obviously, I think many investors got aware, obviously, of issues in unregulated markets, and I think it's a big element of trust as well that such legislation can bring to a company, to an industry as such. How do you personally look at it? Is that something that you feel like it would be a requirement also for Bonzo to take a next step also?
I mean that the regulation, or I think that the regulation, when it comes to any market, any industry, it's cleaning the market from some players that doesn't play serious or doesn't play fair game. So I think every time these steps are cultivating the industry, which is, from my point of view, a very good sign, and very good step. On the other hand, many times these regulations are coming with a lot of administration, so it brings a lot of costs to the companies. So when we're talking about like P2P industry, which is like a low margin industry, then of course it can be an issue for some players on the market, of course, if this kind of regulation comes. Anyway, I think for the investors, it's a great thing, so they can build more trust to these investment platforms in regulated areas.
But you think also Bonzo would benefit from it? Like, do you see like the benefits outweighing the costs, obviously, and the administrative expenses that come along with it?
Yeah, definitely. I think that Bonzo will benefit from it because we are not starting. We are not so small to be kind of drawn down by some of these costs. From my point of view, from point of view of Bonzo, I think that this will help to build trust of our investors, mainly I think abroad, because the Czech investors knows the environment pretty well. So for the foreigners, it's probably better to trust companies in regulated areas. Anyway, I think that it's better to understand like a Central Europe company, like in Central Europe state, like Czech Republic, where, for example, I think most of Germans knows Prague. Probably they were there and so on. So it's so you know it. And the Baltics are like much more eastern, so the trust can be a little bit worse.
Okay. Let's switch to another segment that I wanted to discuss with you, which is your business model as well as business development. The monetization model of Bonzo, can you share in a couple of words, how does the company earn money? What are the income streams that Bonzo has?
Yeah, the income streams are very simple. It's only from the fees which we are having mainly from the loan originators. Of course, there are some fees for the investors. It's a fee for investors in Czech investments, and also some conversion fee when our investors are making conversion between Czech and euro, Czech crown and euro. And all the other fees are like from the loan originators, and that's the only income that Bonzo has right now.
Can you share how that fee for your loan originators, how it calculates? Because is it like just like one fee, one specific fee for all, or does it vary? And if so, what are the criteria?
Of course, it's a part of our business not business secret, but we are partners, so I don't want to like open our relations in a detail. Anyway, there are different fees. There are fees like management fees. There are fees from investment, also some buyback fees. These are individually negotiated with each originators, and we are talking in numbers percentage points of like from 0 to 3 percentage points. It's as I said in one of my previous questions, it's a low margin business. So from that point of view, it's like that.
Okay. If we have a general look, how did the company perform financially in the past, in the past few years? And, you know, maybe also the question of profitability along with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still in, I would say, red numbers. We're not in profit at this time. The revenues in 2020 were around 15. It was in Czech crowns. So 600,000 euro. According to our growth plan, where we want to be in the number of investors and also invested money. We think that we can move to the black numbers and to become a profitable company in late 2022. So that's our actual plan.
Okay, late 2022. Can you underline this maybe with specific figures, like what kind of investor growth would you expect? How much funds would need to be at the platform, how many loan originators on the other side also to serve this? So can you be more specific in terms of numbers, how you want to achieve that profit or that profitability until the end of 2021?
I think that we should to the end of 2022, according to our plan, we should to the end of 2022 to grow to the number of 30,000 investors, and triple the assets under management what we have right now. So to have 1.1 billion Czech crowns. I will convert it to you in euro, 43 million euro and 30,000 investors at that point. I mean, end of 2022. And in the number of loan originators, we're talking about kind of double up to that point to be around 30 loan originators, but it's of course a question of size of each loan originator. So you can't say like particularly the number of the loan originator, of course.
All right, thanks for sharing those insights. I checked the 2019 balance sheet from Bonster Marketplace, which by now is the latest one available online. To me, it was very difficult, to be honest, to read the financials. And therefore, my question, do you plan to increase that reporting quality? For instance, you know, having like a properly audited report, maybe also from a reputable company, and maybe also with euro figures for your international investors, so it's a bit easier instead of converting it on from one side to the other. Is it planned to just like, I think, level up a bit the reporting quality of Bonster?
Yeah, thank you for that question, because I'm not that long with Bonster to be able to say what was done in the past. Anyway, I would say in general, that I see the trust of the investors and the transparency of the company as a key thing for entering those markets. So of course these things will be one of my focus to be better, to be transparent for our investors. So of course to have it in euro and to see the numbers let's say not that difficult to read. Yeah.
So we can take this as a kind of a, as a promise that for 2020 audited report with euro figures and in a proper frame then.
I don't know whether we are going to have an audited report. I don't want to promise that because that's not my, I don't have that information right now. But of course, in the future, you can have the promise to these numbers and these things to be transparent for all of you.
Hmm. Can you maybe share, because that's something that I'm always or curious as well, like what's the barrier doing an audited report? Is it because from the outside looking in, it's more or less like maybe companies fear that things are audited that, you know, they don't want to have really public, so they want to be a bit more in charge of what gets communicated externally. Is it the financial point of view? I don't know how much a properly audited report is costing a company. Maybe you can give or share some ideas here what the reasons are.
There is nothing. Audited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is nothing to hide. Like it's not about some fear of finding something, because when the startup is starting from scratch, there is like no like past things to be scared of. It's a question of costs, of course, because if you want to do audited report, then it makes sense to do it with some trustful partner. So when you're going to a big five, it's a really a matter of costs. If you're going with some other audited partner, then you can be questioned whether it's a trustful audit. So it's a matter of strategy in this. Anyway, I think in the future, when we are going to the numbers, what I was talking about, definitely, I think that there is no doubt that we will go with audit report also, like by obligation, by the law, which in Czech Republic, over some volume, you have to have the audit report. And it makes sense for me to audit the report with some partner, which is, let's say, trustful also.
Hmm. But can you just give a range? Because I really have no clue how much an audited report then in the end would cost the company. As you said, there's obviously differences if it's a local small auditor that will do it or one of the big five. But what is the range? Because I really have no clue in this, to be honest.
Well, I don't have the specific calculation for Bonster right now. But from my past experience, we are talking in millions of crowns. So we are talking in hundreds of thousands of euro for the audit report.
Okay.
So, and also on the other hand, it's some time spent by the team with the auditors. So this also. In combination with startup business, when you're doing the whole thing with a let's say a small team of people, it's a quite challenging thing. But I think that for the future, it is a necessity to have it, and I don't think that Bonster will somehow try to avoid it or to go other way. So,
All right. Let's talk about the ambitions of Bonster, because I read something very interesting in the press release where you have been appointed as the new CEO. I wrote it down. I want to quote it. Apart from strengthening Bonster's position in the Czech Republic, he aims to make Bonster one of the top three European P2P platforms. So my first question here, how do you, first of all, qualify being one of the best peer-to-peer platforms? You know, which criteria would you apply? Does it go with funded loan volume alone, or which elements are involved to be among the top three peer-to-peer platforms in Europe, to your opinion?
My answer is that I would say it like how I feel it, like really me, like Pavel Klema. I think it's a combination of different factors. It's not only a volume, the combination of factors it's of course the funded volume. Anyway, it's a diversification. Opportunities on the platform. It's a combination with fees, with the functionalities of platform, talking about auto invest, secondary markets, and things like this. And also the possibilities, meaning the technical ones that the investors have. As I said already, the possibility or the opportunities of diversification. So the or the offer side, so to have a good range or a group of loan originators from different countries for the investors to be able to really diversify not only between two originators or one of them, but also between regions, between different collaterals, between different tenures. So I think that the combination of all these factors gives for me some kind of a position on the market. I'm not talking about the market share. I'm talking about really the position of being one of the best.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, because obviously if you break it down to only hard facts, it's a matter of, okay, you can really judge and say like, okay, we talk about outstanding loan volume, we talk about funded loan volume, whatever it is, it's a hard figure. It's something that, you know, people can measure obviously, and you kind of need to live up to those expectations, whereas you can, you know, take also more of a soft position, soft, you know, way of saying like it's a range of things. But in principle, I understand what you.
No, what I wanted to say by this is that these are the factors you're going how you're building the company. Of course, what is the market share? So I like excluded the market share from that. When we want to talk about market share, from my point of view, it's a number of investors and assets under management. From my point of view, to compare the sizes and the success of the companies. And of course, there are players on the market who are for a longer period. So when I think that the setup should be, like I said in my first answer, and when you have this setup, you can compete the rest of the market, and you can get the market share and become whatever, the top three or number one on the market.
Hmm. Well, this answer of yours is also revealing another interesting question to me, at least. Who would you currently rank as the top three P2P platforms in Europe? Because when you want to, you know, be among the top platforms, you kind of need to have an idea, okay, who do you need to target? Who are, according to your opinion right now, the top peer-to-peer platforms in Europe? I'm very curious to hear your answer on this.
Well, definitely from my point of view, Mintos is number one. I think that it's undisputable, or fact that Mintos is number one right now. I also see Pirberit, Twino, Viventor as a top platforms. I see those as competitors, and I see really those where you can also have like the possibilities of diversification. I like also, let's say, Estate Guru, which is also a great platform. Anyway, there is a let's say it's a focused only on the real estate. So from this point of view, like of course our like target is the number one Mintos where we are looking at as a direction.
Okay. Now we could enter into a discussion about, you know, discussing a few name or a few companies that you named now, but I think that would probably put the focus too much away from Bonsa. So maybe we spare that one for a different time or for a private conversation. To me, what's important to know is what do you personally, because there's, you know, you mentioned a few companies, but obviously there's a big variety of companies in the market that offer similar services to Bonster. You know, obviously there's different loan segments, you know, different countries involved that, you know, could somehow serve a little bit the element of diversification. But what do you effectively see as a competitive advantage that Bonster has among competitors right now, as well as where you want to be in the next 2-3 years then?
Yeah, sure. I think, and I mentioned it already many times in our conversation right now, I think a high rate of diversification is the advantage from my point of view, because as I know from our research, we had in the end of 2020, we can see that the investors are on 3, 4, and 4 or more P2P platforms. So at one time. So I think that our advantage is that when you want to invest into loan with a real estate collateral, or into payday loan, and you want to go to a region of Colombia or Russia, you can choose it inside one platform. You don't have to switch between platforms. So that's one of it. So I would say diversification is one of it. The other is that there are different platforms where it's the, I would say, pure crowdfunding. So the investment is funded in time by the investors, and I think that as we are providing investments or offering investments with our loan originators, that there are the loans that are already provided, that are already disbursed to a client. So we are doing the job for our investors in due diligence of those loan originators. The investor doesn't have to investigate what the final debtor is, and what is the scoring and so on. So we are doing the job for them. So it's a let's say pure investment platform. So I think this is also it. And as well, as I said, we are having the loans secured by the real estate. The other advantages, I don't think it's advantages among Mintos, for example, but for some other players, because as I said, secondary market, auto invest, and those functionalities, we have conversion, currency conversions. So this, from my point of view, are the main advantages. And on the other hand, right now, the revenues you can get with Monster, because in the last few months we are in top three between European platforms with our revenues for our investors. And I also had some discussions with our investors, and they are really gaining this or are getting this this revenue. So that's why I think we are in a good position to achieve our goals.
All right. The last segment of topics that I would like to discuss with you is loan origination, as well as a bit, you know, combined with pandemic, because I think it matches quite well, if you can say it like this. You know, when we look at the funded loan volume on Bonster, it obviously has been decreasing in the last year, and kind of not, at least from how I was interpreting the charts, not has, you know, massively gone up again. So it kind of remained on that level that somehow established then in the first half of the last year. How in general would you say has Bonster being affected from the pandemic last year, and what are the effects that you can still feel today?
Of course, the appetite and the nervousness of the investors in the very beginning of the pandemics in March and April last year, Bonster really felt it with a decrease of decrease. It was a Bonster was on the way up. It was the trajectory was really growing, and this was stopped. So I would call 2020 as a kind of stable and really slow growth. And in the last year, Bonster funded 533 million crowns in total, which is 20 million euro, 20.5 million euro. This makes a third of the whole funded amount, a third of a whole funded amount in the whole history of Bonster. So it was not a kind of a bad year, but we saw that the investors were a little bit nervous. What affects us is the Polish loan originators, because the Polish market regulation during pandemics coming also with installments moratorium was pretty difficult for Polish loan originators. We started to negotiate with them from the very first moment, and we are coming back with investments to our investors. And we are like on a halfway to get the money back to them. I think during 2021 we can get all of the money back to the investors, because the Polish loan originators are cooperating with us. Only two of them are in some insolvency regime, so I can't like promise that it will be settled in 2021. But I think in most of the cases we had during pandemics, we dealt in the best way possible. So excluding the Poland regulation change, I don't think there was a kind of a big, I don't think even small one, some effect on Bonster. Amongst the investors' nervousness, or that was the only thing, I think.
Okay. To be honest, I don't follow Bonster that closely, so I can't really tell how you performed with with loan originators during last year. So I need to trust you on your word. Apparently some issues with Polish loan originators. And as you said, I think it's not just due to pandemic, but also because of legislative changes. I think interest rate cap has been affecting those companies quite massively. Have you been able maybe also to, you know, to pull out from this collaboration in terms of not serving any new loans anymore? Or did you just, you know, trust and continue with this collaboration for the hopeness and for a better time? Or how did you respond as Bondster then?
Right now, also in that time, because as you said, the rate cap was on the Polish market, and I think it really damaged that the industry in Poland. So we stopped actively offering any loans from them at that time. So we have no Polish loan originator. I can't say from what month, but from that period of time, all the activity is stopped, and we are only collecting money from them. I'm talking to them. I'm looking into their results, and we are taking as much money as possible, but still to keep them alive, to get the money back, because of course we have some opportunities from the legal perspective to overtake those loans and start to collect it, and we were prepared to do so anyway. It was not necessary, and I think it's more profitable for our investors not to start some high pressure legal actions, because then it can damage more than to have some deal with them and to get the money in some settlements and to settle it all over.
You know, one thing that I'm curious about is also, because you see, I don't think it was only Bondster being affected by this, but in general, once a loan originator defaults, it obviously, the recovery process can be quite tricky, and, you know, restoring funds and ensuring that, you know, funds go back to where they were supposed to be can become quite tricky, you know. And what I'm curious is, throughout this, because you said you have some legal opportunities, I'm curious how companies structure also those collaborations in order to get as much funds back as possible. So the question is, do you pledge assets in your collaborations with loan originators? And can you maybe share a few details on how you structure collaborations for eventualities like this, so you can access also assets that you can use then basically for the company?
I would say that I really don't want to go in much detail in some particular loan originators, but in a general way, we are not having pledges. We can have some bill of exchange of the shareholders or something, what was our focus in the Polish situation is that in our contracts we can really overtake those portfolios and we can start to collect it by ourselves. So as of course we don't have any entity on a Polish market, we had some tender for Polish collection companies, and we were prepared to overtake those debts and give it to those collection companies and start to collect it. What I see as a benefit for the investors from this point of view, when we went by this strategy not to overtake those debts, is also that there was no cost transferred to our investors. So all the collection process is in terms of costs of Bondster right now, until right now. So and there is no plan in the near future to change it with the Polish situation. So that's why I think it's, let's say, win-win for not only our investors, also for Bonster, also for the loan originators. So I think it's a successful result from this situation.
Mm. And in terms of getting back just one more time to the situation with, I think from what I understood, Polish loan originators were the only one being kind of a bit behind now on the Bonster sheet. But you're confident to restore the principal, I don't know, maybe even with interest by the end of, what was it, this year?
Yeah. End correct? Of this year. If they are able to still be in line with the settlement agreements we have. So until this time, they are. So if we are continuing in this process, we will be able to do so. But excluding those two companies who are under insolvency process, because then they're the judge will decide what is the what's going to be the speed of the settlement. But when I'm excluding those loans originator under these special processes, and the other will follow the schedule as they are until now, so until the end of 2021, until the end of this year, everything will be settled back.
Mm. All right. Good. That will be it from my side in terms of the questions that I had on the sheet. I think it was now a good 50-minute conversation. I hope there was plenty for investors to take out from this. Thank you very much for your time, Pavel. Any last words or remarks from your side?
Well, I thank you for the invitation. Maybe one thing to German investors is that in the next steps and to be able to follow our goals is to enter, let's say, with more power to the German market. So you can probably look forward to see us more. So we're looking forward to see you on our platform, and hopefully you get the revenues and the benefits working with us that you expect. So thank you, Danny, for the invitation and the possibility to answer your questions.
Yeah, give it right back to you. Thank you, Pavel, and best of success to Bonster in the future.
Thank you.